Hello, and welcome to episode 1 of Life Swing Style. Today, we shall be exploring what the swinging lifestyle is. Settle down, open your ears, and join me as we discover and explore together. Because sharing is caring. Before we begin this wonderful journey of sexual adventure together, it's probably advisable to know what we've yet to discover. So we're going to start at the very beginning, because it's a very good place to start. The term swinging used to apply to a very formulaic expression of sexual expression, that of wife swapping. Wife swapping is an outmoded term used to describe a form of recreational, social and sexual intercourse between consenting adults, usually heterosexual married couples. The term was first coined during the Second World War and appears to have emerged from the US military, primarily US Air Force pilots. In the turbulent times of the 1940s, with high fatalities across the armed services, the unsettling days of when life could be extinguished in a moment led to an unusual social scene where non-monogamy between these pilots' wives and other pilots became commonplace. Before departing on military missions, they would often organise parties with their colleagues and their wives to say their goodbyes. In these parties, colleagues will promise, if anything happens to them, that they will take care of their families, including the sexual needs of their wives. These arrangements persisted near the Air Force bases throughout World War II and well into the Korean War. By the time the Korean War has ended, these wife-swapping groups had spread from bases to the nearby suburbs. By then, there were also the notorious key clubs. This is where husbands reportedly tossed their house keys into the pile in the centre of the room, where they were to be drawn at random by their wives. The owner of a selected key was the sexual partner for that evening, which gives us the image of the tossing keys in a bowl. I've never encountered this personally other than a tongue-in-cheek party theme. Today, the idea of wife swapping and keys in a bowl are nothing more than a porn parody. The language we use to describe various sexual activities has changed a great deal since the mid-20th century. One key, excuse the pun, one key term is referring to the lifestyle, which is no longer restricted to the idea of wife swapping heterosexual couples, but rather the idea of recreational sex with multiple partners. The lifestyle, with a capital L, as we know it today, isn't new. The term itself simply encompasses people looking to have recreational sex or sexual experiences with anyone outside of a culturally defined romantic relationship. This might include inviting in a third party for a threesome, or attending sex-positive clubs, small parties, even if just to watch. The lifestyle is distinct from polyamory, where multiple partners are emotionally involved in the relationship. Couples in the lifestyle are still emotionally exclusive to one another, and singles are very much part of the lexicon. Sex for pleasure and sheer beautiful sexual gratification alone has existed as long as there have been humans. From the early Mesopotamian period, filled with orgasmic sex and fertility traditions serving the gods through sex and dedicated temples, to the Babylonian fire festivals incorporating delicious hot sex orgies, unbridled fornication between large groups of people were a part of a defined and civilized culture. I could go on for hours about the ancient Egyptian city of Bubastis, which was a rich and fertile breeding ground of hedonistic sex parties, which conjure up images of naked, tanned Egyptian bodies scattered across the Nile Valley, Bronze Age cups in hand, and sex unleashed. I've had a good turnout at a few orgies. Everybody came. We often think of the Romans having wild orgies, but interestingly enough, there is no good evidence that orgies were ever at all common in ancient Rome. In fact, we do not even have a single reliable first-hand non-fiction account of one. All we have are salacious rumours, propaganda, and works of erotic fiction. In other words, the idea of Roman orgies is a complete misconception. The modern English word orgy comes from the Latin orgia, which doesn't actually refer to the writhing mass of naked copulating bodies we may expect, but rather means a kind of mysterious nocturnal religious ceremony held in secret. However, the images of a Roman orgy may be fictitious, but transfer very well to a toga sex party theme. If anybody wishes to feed me grapes naked, I'll willingly oblige. Whether warranted or not, people eventually came to associate the word orgia with acts of unrestrained passion, particularly passion of a sexual nature. The word orgy was introduced into English in the 1660s, but it originally referred to any form of degenerate revelry, including even things as innocent as immoderate frolicking, singing and dancing. It did not take on its modern definition until around the late 19th or early 20th century. We're better off looking to the beautifully stunning 1,000-year-old sex temples in Madhya Pradesh with their breathtaking displays of erotic Indian temple art depicting sex scenes of all different types, a large number of them being of group sex. The walls depict people having all sorts of enjoyment, and plenty of orgies lie in the temple, as bundles of entangled humans are seen doing all sorts of naughty acts with one another. We could also be inspired by the Italian Renaissance, when a new breath of life was injected into the orgy in the form of the masquerade. Held by the elite classes, masks were worn to protect the identity of those partaking in debaucherous nights of excessive drinking and raunchy sex. Protecting the identity was of the utmost importance, as everyone needed to wake up and pretend to be high-class upstanding Christians the next day. The masks they designed were both elaborate and effective in this pursuit, and the masquerade lives on in today's Mardi Gras and other similarly inspired parties, which still carry the strong sexual undertones that all the masquerades did. I've seen a few modern day masquerade parties in person, and some naughty individuals even use masquerade style masks in the very modern version of the orgy, which are virtual sex parties. The popularity of masquerades eventually declined thanks to the very dull Victorians with their covered ankles and table legs, although group sex slowly began to rear its beautiful glistening head once more with the rise of film pornography, starting in France, where else, from the 1880s. Using film to show threesomes, foursomes, orgies and girl-on-girl pornography, from there history takes us over to where we see the Roaring Twenties and hedonistic 30s, returning back to the 1940s US Air Force pilots we began with. So where are we now with this lifestyle with a capital L? A short Google search shows it's now the term preferred by swingers across mainly North America and the UK, possibly to be more inclusive of the various kinks, desires and sexual preferences across large groups of consenting adults. It's an increasingly commercial term and becoming recognised as being more mainstream, or at least well known, thanks to porn categories, various nefarious and sensationalised television documentaries and media articles, bloggers and podcasters, travel resorts, festivals and lifestyle clubs. A friend of mine went on a swingers camping trip once, but he was too shy to participate. It was too fucking intense for him. We do tend to refer back out of habit, although. And while the term swinging is seen as a little lacking au fait, it's probably the term you searched for when looking up this podcast, or indeed the club itself. So we'll use it as an interchangeable word alongside the lifestyle with a capital L. So, hopefully, we've set the background for this little sexual adventure we're on. Now we need to know who the main characters are. I've held a few organised newbie workshops for couples interested in the lifestyle. They aren't quite what they sound like, some sort of inexperienced orgy for the uninitiated, but rather an afternoon's discussion over tea and cake, because we're very English here sometimes. One of the first questions I ask is, who is a swinger? And I get back all sorts of wonderful answers. Some answers include imaginings of older couples in their early retirement, looking for a bit of spice in their marriage before bodily functions cease to work, to concluding that swingers look like a mix between Instagram-ready porn star lookalikes arm-in-arm with rich old men, to Tracy, who works in the local Tesco. All misconceptions are true and false. The truth is, there is no average swinger. I've seen people from all walks of life, from bin men to barristers, from all over the world, combining across different cultural backgrounds in a wide array of wonderful shapes, sizes, and smells. It is true, however, that birds of a feather flock together, so depending on where you're looking, from online meet sites to physical clubs, different groups with similar tastes will tend to gather in their droves. You may see a different sort of clientele depending on the type of club or party you decide to visit. You may be bombarded with a certain type if you frequent certain swinger meets websites. But the more you explore the various outlets of the lifestyle, the more you realise that those naughty, pineapple-loving, pampas grass-growing perverts are everywhere. I jest. The pineapples and pampas thing is a myth and depends on personal decor taste, but the fact is, there are swingers everywhere. I tried to come up with some figures for the UK on how many consenting adults who are or have practiced lifestyle activities in their lifetime, and the closest figure I could come up with from various academic research across America and Europe was an estimated figure of 4% of the adult population had practiced activities associated with swinging in their lifetime. With current UK population, that would roughly mean there's over 2.5 million naughty adults out there. So you probably know more swingers than you think. All of those delightful outfits from Love Honey and Ann Summers aren't just designed to just to be worn in the marital bed, you know. Think about it as starting a new hobby, one that can be amazing, adventurous, exciting, but can also be time-consuming, frustrating, tiring, and expensive. Once you've decided you wish to set off on this amazing journey, and I'll be discussing the talk couples have before, during, and after they start their swinging adventure on a later podcast, I want you to think about what it is you'd like to achieve. Your journey into the lifestyle will have a very different destination depending on where your starting point is. The first encounters and experiences you have will decide the path you take, so tread wisely. Remember, birds of a feather flock together, and although the lifestyle is seen as inclusive, friendly, and accepting of all sorts of sizes and attractiveness levels, it's fair to expect differences in etiquette and experience from different clubs, parties, and groups. Say the patrons of a Parisian libertine club will be a little different from a gangbang party located in a large British industrial estate. So think about what you want to gain from joining the lifestyle. A social community of people from similar backgrounds to you, or pure play anonymous events. Some refer back to the cliques of the lifestyle. This is true in some regards. Sometimes these consenting adults can resort back to memories of the playground, with outsiders of their own little playgroup being left to the sideline. Some coming into the lifestyle complaining about terrible first experience which didn't live up to their fantasies. It's more than likely they started looking in the wrong places. One of the key terms in the lifestyle is communication, and it's a lot easier to have clear communication with sexy peeps that have more in common with you, whether that be attractiveness, social status, fashion sense, interests, kinks, experiences. Communication is key, and it leads on to the whole other key theme within the lifestyle, that of consent, and I'll be talking about that in its own section another time. So it's worth doing your research. Would you be more comfortable going to a house party, a sex club, a sauna, a swingers club, a lifestyle resort, a kink dungeon? There's almost as many different type of venue as there are types of play. Would you prefer to meet people at organised socials or private members clubs or a free or paid for online lifestyle platform or a local dogging spot? Wherever you decide to explore, keep in mind that each venue, each party, each group is different, with different protocols, ethos, and even entry and dress requirements. I always recommend trying out various different aspects of the lifestyle in order to see what landmarks, attractions, and adventures you can discover on this particular journey. One wouldn't just eat out, excuse the pun, at one restaurant forever, ordering the same dish every time. It would be rather dull. And yet, I've come across some within the lifestyle that do just that. They will only visit a certain club for a certain event and play with certain people. Perhaps such cautious travellers on this journey are comfortable on their chosen narrow path, or perhaps they hold dear the same ideals as those US Air Force pilots on nurturing a very select community. Whatever their reasoning is, it's their own, no doubt. Although, I always believe sharing is caring. So hopefully I've given you some information on starting points into this extensive and exciting way of life, but hopefully not too directive. Just like the historical examples of sex parties and orgies have various different pedigrees, beginnings, meanings and customs, your own exploration into this wonderful world will be as unique as your own journey through life. Just remember, the ancient Greeks didn't just teach us how to throw a wild party, they also taught us that fun is in the journey rather than the destination itself. Happy travelling, you've already begun.